This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Chopping away at all of it here. So before I get back to the questions, I want to play a couple things. Because there's a couple different points to be made. And both of these little bits of audio come out of Philadelphia, which is such a crying shame because Philadelphia is where it all began. Either way, this is Rochelle Bilal. Who is Rochelle Bilal? Well, she's the sheriff for Philadelphia County, right? Well, here she is.
And so we stand here today with all those who stand against the made-up fake, what you can call ICE, professional law enforcement. I don't call them none of that. I call them made up fake wannabe law enforcement. Because what they do is against not only legal law, but the moral law. So I'm with the DA, and we will work with them. If any of them want to come in this city and commit a crime, you will not be able to hide. Nobody will whisk you off. You don't want this smoke. Because we will bring it to you.
As the Philadelphia sheriff, you don't want this smoke, homie. You don't want it. I'll tell you. We've talked about this before, and I wince when I talk about it because I think about what it means for me. I'll be honest; I'm as selfish as anyone else. I personalize it and think about what it means for me. All this DEI push, diversity is everything push. In the beginning, when they first started really, really shoving this stuff hard, it was easy for us, certainly easy for me, to maybe it was just a way to comfort ourselves, to cope by saying, or at least thinking, well, yeah, they're of course going to screw over as many white men as possible, and they're going to grab so many of these diversity hires, and they're going to give them some jobs, of course, but not the important jobs. Not the stuff that really, really matters. Okay, they're going to put one in the mailroom. Sounds good. All right, they're going to make one assistant manager of the local Chili's. I got it. Sounds good. All right, they're going to let one or two will be a nurse. Okay, but they're not going to run police departments. They're not going to pilot airplanes. That's never going to happen. Okay, they can work for the university, but they're not going to run the university. We'll hire some at the FBI, but they're not going to rise to the highest levels of the FBI. Nobody would do that. These positions are too important, after all. Nobody would do that. But how naive were we? Have you ever thought that? I know I thought that at various times. And again, I know it was just cope. We were naive. Every communist system that has ever been put into place in the history of the world has had some of the most low-end, low-IQ scumbags put into place at the highest possible levels, because that's how communists operate. They hand the choicest jobs, the most powerful jobs, to other apparatchiks. Do you want to know one of the main reasons the Red Army, they suffered so badly at the beginning of World War II when Hitler's Nazis invaded? It wasn't just because the German army was very, very, very professional, and they were, and that was certainly part of it. You want to know one of the main reasons? Because Stalin, always concerned about his own power, always concerned about there being a coup or an assassination attempt on him, Stalin went into the military and took many, almost all of his most capable generals and killed them or threw them in the gulags. Killed them or threw them in the gulags. Who did he put into place? Well, morons, but loyal morons, you see. Hey, here's Dmitri. I mean, he has an IQ of 75, doesn't know much about combat, but he sure is loyal. Anyway, it's General Dmitri now. Go get him, bud. Stalin had to start, get this, Stalin had to start pulling generals out of the gulag and putting them back into uniform, or the Soviet Union was going to collapse and lose to the Nazi army. We convince ourselves that it's just the low-level stuff. It won't be anything important. It won't be my doctor next year. It's not going to be my judge. It would never be the sheriff, right? Okay, maybe it's one person, a deputy who worked, maybe the secretary, maybe they'll get handed some DEI job. Oh my gosh, that's so naive. The sheriff of Philadelphia.
And so we stand here today with all those who stand against the made up fake, what you can call ICE, professional law enforcement. I don't call them none of that. I call them made up fake wannabe law enforcement. Because what they do is against not only legal law, but the moral law. So I'm with the DA, and we will work with them. If any of them want to come in this city and commit a crime, you will not be able to hide. Nobody will whisk you off. You don't want this smoke, because we will bring it.
The sheriff of Philadelphia. You don't want this smoke.
People be texting.
Good freaking grief. At the highest levels, they've put these apparatchiks in place. Also, speaking of apparatchiks, it wasn't just the sheriff. The DA, District Attorney, Philadelphia, Larry Krasner, here he was.
If any law enforcement agent, any ICE agent, is going to come to Philly to commit crimes, then you can get the F out of here. Because if you do that here, I will charge you with those crimes. You will be arrested. You will stand trial. You will be convicted, whether it's in state or federal court. It's my office prosecuting it. That's how the law works. And you will do your time.
FYI, that's not how the law works at all. There's no federal agent executing federal law in any place, any city in the country, including Philadelphia, that can be charged with state crimes, with city. That's not true. That's not at all how the law works. Of course, none of that matters. But anyway, I just thought I'd let you know.
Because Donald Trump cannot pardon you for a state court conviction. Do you hear me, ICE agents? Do you hear me, National Guard? Do you hear me, military?
I'll bring it up again. How does a country operate with hostile foreign city-states operating inside its borders? Philadelphia, Minneapolis, New York, Chicago, LA, what, pick your city. They're not just left. They're hostile foreign countries. Foreign countries that have declared that America's deportation force will be subject to arrest if they come into the city to deport people who are here illegally. I've asked before, I've talked about it before, that I can't find a historical example of how to deal with this, of a country that had to go through this. But you know what? Maybe I misspoke. Maybe this is a rebellious city, like the ones Rome had to deal with from time to time. Look, Chris, I'm not saying anything. Like the ones the Persians had to deal with from time to time. The Assyrians had to deal with from time to time. What, Chris? I know. Jewish producer Chris said those solutions aren't pretty. That's why I didn't even want to say it. I understand that. I'm not calling for the Assyrian way. I don't want anyone flayed and have their skin hanging from the city walls. I'm not saying something like that. But isn't that what we're dealing with? A rebellious cities inside of our border? And man, this is why this foreign policy stuff is falling on so many deaf ears on the right. We have domestic foreign countries hostile to us and our interests we have to deal with. All right, let's get to some emails, shall we? Let's talk about investigations, the slow pace of them. Next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, reminding you you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get back to it, shall we? Hey, Jesse. This is for everybody frustrated with the timeline, frustrated for how much time things take. Jesse, I used to be a federal agent. Investigations are very complicated and need competent agents. Where is Trump going to get enough investigators to take care of all the crimes? Another factor is the investigative branches are so bogged down with unnecessary paperwork that investigation takes forever. Eliminate the unneeded paperwork, and it will be more efficient to prosecute these criminals. I wanted you to hear from a former federal investigator, and I wanted to kind of piggyback off of his point. There's a lot of very understandable frustration from our side, from me, about where are the arrests? Where are all of the arrests? Why don't we have more arrests? And to make our point, we use examples like January 6th, and it's a very fair thing to do. We say, hey, the federal government rounded up 1,000 January 6ers in like 5 minutes. It took them longer than that, but the federal government rounded up 1,000 January 6ers super fast. Why is the Antifa network not broken up immediately? Why is this? Let me clue you in on something. Not making excuses. We have to have the arrests, but let me clue you in on something. The federal government, as you know, is on the left. Democrats have spent years filling up the federal government with committed communists. Republicans have not. Yes, Republicans will come into the government, but usually when a Democrat takes over, the Republican will leave or be fired almost immediately. Democrats themselves stay there. We know this. We know voting records. Over 90% of federal employees vote Democrat, and the number's higher than 90. I think it's 95. I just didn't want to overstate it. It's almost all of them, right? Now, what does that have to do with anything? Let's use an organization like the FBI, for example. If I'm at the FBI, or you're at the FBI, and you've been there for 20, 30 years, every day, every year, would you be interested in focusing on Antifa, infiltrating Antifa, investigating Antifa, tracking down the funding networks of Antifa, arresting the criminals in Antifa? Of course you would. Your personal motivation would undoubtedly be taking down some of the communist terrorists in the country. Now, maybe we'd have different presidencies with different priorities, but because that's your priority, Special Agent Chris, if I become president and I walk in and I say, hey, Special Agent Chris, take down Antifa. You know what you're going to do if you're Special Agent Chris? Oh, I'm glad you said something, sir. Allow me to present you with my file. Here it is. It's about 8,000 pages. Here's the funders. I've tracked this down. Hey, took up the whiteboard. I have an agent here. I have an undercover guy here. I have an informant here. Sir, I have an investigation prepped and ready to go because I've spent years investigating Antifa. Let's go take them down. Why did January 6ers get tracked down so quickly? There are a lot of reasons. There's the cell phones. There are a lot of reasons, but let me clue you in on a big one, and this might apply to you, so you better pay attention. The federal government, because it's been occupied by communists for years, has been infiltrating patriotic groups of every kind for years. I didn't tell you don't join a patriotic group, but because the federal government is on the left and on the side of the left, they've spent years getting informants in these groups. And here, I mean, look, it's not always an undercover FBI agent. Here's how it can work. I'm part of, and I'm not part of, this is a made-up scenario, I'm part of the Second Amendment Rules group. I don't think that's an actual group, but that's our group. The Second Amendment Rules. Okay. I cheated on my taxes last year. I didn't, believe me, but I cheated on my taxes last year. You know how this works? Instead of busting me, I get a knock at the door. Hello, this is Special Agent Chris with the FBI. We have this documentation showing you cheated on your taxes last year. That's against the law. So you can either go to prison for 5 years, lose your job, possibly your wife and your kids, or your Second Amendment rules group. We need all the names of the people who are in that group. We need all of your electronic correspondence, all your group text messages. We need to know when you guys are going to meet and shoot guns. We need this. I have just become a federal informant. I have just become part of the FBI. Part of the reason so many January Sixers were hunted down like dogs so quickly is the FBI, having been a communist organization for years, already had feds everywhere on the right, prepped and ready to go. They were already in all the groups. I've told you before, I've warned you before, that patriotic group you're in, there's a Fed in there. Oh, not my group. It couldn't be Bill. It's Bill. You have a Fed in that group, and you better operate like that when you're communicating with each other. Now, what hasn't the federal government been doing for 20, 30 years? Infiltrating left-wing groups. Why hasn't Antifa been wrapped up by now? Why don't we have 1,000 Antifa members in prison? The feds don't have anybody in Antifa. They were worried about you, not Antifa. Ugly truth, but the truth nonetheless. Hey, Jesse. The start of your show yesterday regarding the terrible customer service on the phone mirrored my week. I spent 6 hours on the phone over the course of 3 days with AT&T to remove one of the phones on my plan. Dua had such a thick accent, I asked her to repeat everything she said 3 times. She sounded like she was working in a submarine serving dinner to 100 people. I'll be transferring my plan to Pure Talk this weekend if I haven't already done so. My blood pressure was peaked, and I've never felt so irritated and in short with someone I didn't know over the phone. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say save now. I promise you, there's an American waiting for you on the other end of the line. Pure Talk is veteran-led. They hire Americans. No more language barrier. It's not just Americans who speak English. They're actually nice. They'll walk you through it. Keep your phone. Keep your number. Save a fortune. Switch to Pure Talk. #250. Say save now. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Jesse, what are your thoughts on people like the Amish? I really like living in the country, and I'm intrigued about their self-sustained and simple lifestyle. Could you do it? What would you miss? I'm guessing they wouldn't like my whiskey and cigarettes. Yeah, they probably would frown on the whiskey and cigarettes thing. So you probably already know that I've told you before, I have Amish in my family. My mom's side were they're my mom's maiden name were the Allgaiers. My grandpa Hank, God rest his soul, Hank Allgaier, wonderful man, great man. He grew up Amish and then left. You know, some leave, some choose not to stay in that way of life. Some will leave, and it's a choice. It's not a prison camp. You can leave, and he chose to leave. But he was in no way estranged from, or at least not that I was informed. I guess I wasn't involved in every conversation. He was not so estranged from the Amish side of his family that he didn't link up with them. And I know this because we went out there often when I was a kid. I have spent my time, still one of the coolest things I've ever seen or done in my life was we went out to visit the Amish, to visit his side of the family. And of course, the Amish have about 8,000 kids. They're like the Mormons and Catholics. They just have tons, huge numbers of kids. I knew Amish families with 15, 16 kids. They'd churn them out over and over and over again. They're always having kids. Well, if you're a kid and you show up in Amish country, it's practically heaven because there's an army of other people to play with. They had a barn. The barn was full of hay bales, but these are obviously people who work a lot with their hands, incredible construction people. That's why you see signs for Amish furniture and made by the Amish, all handmade quality stuff. The kids had carved out tunnels like the Viet Cong in this barn full of hay bales. Chris, I bet you these hay bales, now I'm going from memory and I was a kid. I bet you they were 30 feet tall, and I bet you they were 50 feet wide and deep. I'm not talking about three hay bales here. We would play hide and seek and tag in the Viet Cong tunnels of the Amish barn. At the end of the day, my arms, because I wore a t-shirt, were ripped to shreds because hey, I don't want to say cut you. It's mini cuts, but hey'll irritate your skin if you're messing with it without any covering on. I didn't give a crap. You could have cut my arms off. There was no way you were going to get me out of that barn. It was one of the funnest experiences of my entire childhood. It was so friggin' cool. And they're wonderful people. Absolutely wonderful, wonderful people. If you're ever, Pennsylvania is where this was, and that's really Amish Central. If you are ever passing through Amish country, please don't go ask if you can play in their barn, but I would highly recommend you purchase a piece of furniture if you're into it, or baked goods. Oh my gosh. These people, Chris, have you ever? You've never, have you? You know they churn their own butter, right? Chris, don't say you can do that. It's not Amish butter. Okay, it's not. It's Jewish butter, Chris. That's different. All right, it's Amish butter. In all seriousness, if you go through Amish country, Chris, if you stop by, they'll have, sometimes you'll see stands on the side of the road, which the Amish people will set up themselves. But lots of times in the local convenience store or a little local grocery store, they will have sections set up of Amish food, and that's part of how the Amish will make their money. They'll make things like butter, and they'll sell it to the local grocery store. Chris, what card is that? What are you holding up? No, Chris, I don't think they take... Well, the grocery store takes credit card. Remember, just because the Amish can't doesn't mean the grocery store can't. So the grocery store buy, you know, hey, I'll buy your Amish butter, and then they turn around and sell it. And it's not just butter. It's pies and everything like that they make from the butter, but it's all fresh stuff. My dad refused to drive through Amish country without coming home with a block of Amish butter. Oh my gosh. It is the best stuff. And just think how much better the baked goods get from that. Oh, you want butter that was churned on their front porch? Boom, they've got that. You want to buy a cherry pie? Well, I have wonderful news. The flour, they grew it. The cherries, they grew them. It's all natural. And I don't want to sound like RFK Jr. You know my deep abiding love for processed foods. Amish baked goods, dude. Oh, it's different. If you ever have the opportunity, I don't know where you live. If you ever have the opportunity to get something authentic, I would highly recommend it. And the furniture, if it's authentic, keep in mind, the Amish have a reputation by now for making wonderful furniture. That means there are all kinds of scammers out there who will set up shop in Amish country and then ship this furniture all over the country and say it's Amish. Just because they say it's Amish doesn't mean it's Amish. But if you find it's genuine Amish furniture, I promise you it's not going to come apart like some piece of crap made in China. As to whether or not I could live that life, who knows? Right now, I wouldn't want to, because now I'm used to the creature comforts of electronics the exact same way you're used to the creature comforts of electronics. I'm not defending it. I'm not saying my lifestyle is in any way superior, but I'm used to having a phone. I'm used to having a car, a truck, a power, electricity. I'm used to these things. Could I do it now? I could probably do it, but I wouldn't want to. However, if you were to tell me, hey, you can raise your kids. Yeah, Jesse, we're going to take your sons away from you right when they were born. God forbid. So, what? How horrible would that be? But Jesse, you don't get to raise your sons. You have a choice. You can raise your sons in a more normal American society, or we will give your sons to an Amish family. I would probably choose the Amish family, to be honest with you. Part of what influences that for me is you see how disgusting so much of this world is. And believe me, the Amish aren't perfect either. There's no perfect human being. But they do have a wonderful way of living. It's an extremely quality, healthy way of life. Remember the community that had virtually no COVID problems whatsoever? Oh, that COVID hit the Amish too, but they didn't jam a bunch of medicine into themselves, ventilators, poison shots. They surrounded family members with love and care, healthy food, and they came out of it. Wild how well the Amish do. It's wild how there's no autism. They don't have things like that. And I don't have the reason. I don't know the reason. I know people will email all kinds of theories on it. I don't have the reason, but you can dog on them all you want. Your prerogative. They're very healthy people, very happy people, kind people, hardworking. The men are strong as a freaking bull, because I swear you're born with a hammer and a saw in your hands when you're 2 years old. Quality lifestyle. The women are beautiful, right? They're not all, you know, fake eyelashes and crap like that. Beautiful women, healthy men, healthy kids. Pretty cool lifestyle. I admire it. Maybe it's just because it's part of my family, but honestly, it's more experience with it. All right. The communists in crime statistics, why would they lie about crime statistics when they want violent crime to go up? Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. We still have more than an hour left. Don't worry, you can email us still, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get back to your questions. Hey, Jesse, I guess the thing that I don't understand is that if crime and fear is a main component of the communist playbook to help them out, then why do they lie about crime statistics down so that those who have been unaffected by crime feel that it's safe instead of fear-mongering the entire population? How does crime and fear help the communists? Okay, so let's answer this last question first. I just walked into a high school. This high school has never had a basketball team, and I'm the new athletic director for the high school. I'm starting the men's basketball program for the high school. I haven't had tryouts. I don't know anything yet, but I've got to go find some students, and I've got to invite them to basketball tryouts. Now, what am I looking for? What would be one major thing you would look for if you're starting the men's basketball program in high school? Height. Where are the tall kids? I look down the hallway. Whose head is sticking out? Hey, who's that kid? Hey, you want to come to basketball tryouts? We got basketball tryouts next week. Maybe he sucks. Maybe he doesn't. But he has at a base level, one of the key physical attributes that will make him, that could make him, an excellent player on my new basketball team. It is built in. All right, you get that? Now, what are communists doing? What are they trying to do at all times? Destroy. Communists are always destroyers. What do they want? What are they trying to destroy? Everything. Absolutely everything. It's not just capitalism. It's the family. It's the country. It's Nike. It's football. Food. You name it. The communist is trying to destroy it. Well, good, normal people aren't like that. If I was trying to recruit you into destroying something that is beautiful, something that is good, I probably couldn't pay you enough. I couldn't convince you to do it. Here's this beautiful 20-foot statue of Thomas Jefferson. It was designed by this guy, and it took 10 years to carve it out of stone. Hey, I want destroy it. Please destroy it. I'm begging you. I couldn't get you to do that. It's a beautiful statue. Who wants to destroy it? But what if you were a scumbag? You know we have scumbags all over society. People who've been raised in terrible homes, terrible environments. People who are inherently violent, lawbreakers. Somebody who will happily snatch your wife's purse off her arm, happily stab someone, kill somebody, burn something. Now I go to that guy. In fact, I go to the violent wing of any prison. How hard am I going to have to look before I find a man who's willing to destroy that statue for me? They have the at their base, just like the tall kids in high school, they have the thing I need the most, a willingness to destroy, a willingness to break the law, a willingness to commit acts of violence. I don't need him to read Karl Marx. I don't need him to learn about the beauty of collectivism. I don't need him to become a tried and true communist believer. I need a mercenary. I need a destroyer. I need a foot soldier. And he, though he hasn't been doing it for me yet, he is a prime recruit for my movement. Why do communists in big cities smash law-abiding people everywhere they can find them, and yet they'll throw open the jails for the guy who's been arrested 40, 50 times? Why? Who's going to be a better recruit for me? You think it's going to be you with your value system? I bet you're even going to go to church this Sunday or synagogue Saturday, Chris. I bet you believe in right and wrong, don't you? I bet you don't believe in hurting people. I bet you're probably even against stealing. I can't recruit you. You're a nightmare to recruit. You disagree with everything I want. But the guy who lives across the street, he's been committing acts of violence his whole life. Drug dealer. He may not know anything about politics, but he has exactly what I need. Therefore, he is going to get all the political protection I can give him because he is going to be an effective recruit, possibly for my side. You, I can never count on you. You have to be smashed. They sent the Federal Bureau of Investigation after pro-lifers who were singing hymns and reading Bible verses outside of abortion clinics. These people would never harm a fly. Universally, these people are family people, church people, kind people, and yet they sent the FBI after them like they were all Pablo Escobar. Why? There's no recruit there. All there is there is somebody who's an enemy to my cause. These people are builders, people trying to create a wonderful society, a godly society. Therefore, if I'm a destroyer, if I'm trying to burn it all down, these people are my enemies. Remember in New York City, a drugged-out maniac was violently threatening everybody. Daniel Penny, United States Marine Daniel Penny, throws a rear naked choke on him. The guy's so drugged out, he ends up dying, and they tried to send Daniel Penny to prison for the rest of his life. Kyle Rittenhouse got hunted down by pedophiles who abused young children. He got hunted down and assaulted on camera, killed two of them, wounded another one. And right now, if not for cell phone footage, Kyle Rittenhouse would be in prison for the rest of his life. Communists reward their friends and punish their enemies. We still have a whole hour. We have to talk about everything from socks to politicians' dress codes to ICE operations and more. Next.